Welcome back, college basketball fans, to another Hoops HD report. Streaming to you live on tape delay here on the evening of November 26th. I am your host in the top middle here, Chad Sherwood, joined by we got David Griggs.
Yes, we
got John Tytel with us. Got John Stalica below me. And the other side, joining us from Austin, Texas this week, I believe, is Joby Fortson. And also, he used to be on the show a lot more regularly. You can hear him on BuckeyeGrove.com, right, Kyle Lamb?
What the hell is he doing here?
I decided to take back my show from David Griggs, Kyle Lamb
show. Who invited him?
We've got a lot to get to.
Anybody on the show? Why do you have Kyle Lamb on the show?
You invited him, David, didn't you?
It's not like we wanted to lose viewers.
I've got some explosive news coming here this show about David Griggs, actually. Some breaking news, a Hoops HD exclusive.
Do we want to start with that, Kyle?
Let's start with that.
Okay.
No, let's move on to the – it was a busy week last week.
My sources have told – I mean, they're impeccable sources, mind you. They're better than Brett McMurphy's sources. They have told me that, one, David Griggs is responsible for an attempted election rigging. He has hacked into Sagarin's college basketball ratings and made Nebraska number one, which has since been rectified. You know, Jeff has corrected that. He attempted to hack into the NCAA's computers and rig the new net selection tool.
No, which, not rig, fix.
Yeah, well.
You're using misleading terminology. I fixed the ranking.
Okay, well, see, I don't even need sources anymore. He's basically admitting to it. But
to making it better.
He attempted to rig the college basketball coaches' polls and fix.
Fix, I'm sorry. Kyle, fix.
He attempted to fix it by getting coaches on illegal wiretaps and try to leverage them into voting Nebraska number one. This is all explosive stuff. I cannot establish a link at this time to Russia, but I have a feeling it probably exists.
What the hell do they know about basketball? They had one win back in 72.
David will go to any lengths to get his Nebraska Cornhuskers number one.
Or number one. Undefeated outside of the Sprint Center.
Why don't we actually start the rest of the reporting after Kyle's breaking news? We're going to have some more follow-up reports as the season goes along about this, Kyle, but definitely. But why don't we start by let's pull up the standings here. Let's start in the Big Ten if we're talking Nebraska basketball. And let's actually start with what happened right before we went on the air here tonight. Nebraska, David, did pick up a very nice road win tonight at Clemson.
Yeah, they did. It was one of their – well, I mean, all their wins are fantastic, but it was probably their biggest – I mean, they've had moments over the years where they had, like, showcase wins and signature wins, but it was almost, like, too little too late. This is a big win on the road against a tournament-caliber team, and I don't – I think it's been 2 years since they picked up a win like that. They had a chance against Texas Tech – in Kansas City, couldn't quite get it done. We'll get to Texas Tech a little bit and probably the NET as well. I think Texas Tech is really good again this year, but a real nice win against, from what all accounts, is a really solid Clemson team.
Well, and you know what? Let's go back because I want to address that, David, and thanks for reminding me. For those of you that did not see it, the new net ratings.
The show just really flows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The new net ratings for the NCAA were released for the first time this season, this year. They are there on the screen in the net column in a little bit of bold there. Tytel, I don't know if you had a chance to really take a look at the net ratings yet. What were your initial thoughts on this, if any, at this point in the season?
Since it's November, I think it's too early to delve too deeply into them or to give them too much weight. It's nice that they respect a Buckeyes team that's gone on the road and beaten major teams, but I don't know that I feel comfortable saying Wisconsin is the eighth best team in the country right now.
Yeah, we actually, Joby, let me bring in here. We saw in the net ratings four Big Ten teams in the top 10, if we look at these initial ratings again, and a lot of top 20 teams beyond that even.
Well, a lot of that probably has to do with the strength of schedule, having already played the Gavitt games. That's a big bonus. Plus, a lot of these Big Ten teams play in these strong tournaments. But, you know, looking at the ratings and what teams are kind of higher in the net ratings than would be in KenPom or BPI even, or even the RPI, things that step out, and offline, Kyle and I discussed this a little bit because our teams happen to be 1-2. So thus we know our teams pretty well, that being Ohio State and Virginia. It seems that, hey, undefeated record means a lot. You know, Duke is down a peg or two, but it also very much means efficiency is high, because KenPom loves efficiency. It's just it's almost like you always see Virginia overweighted in KenPom. Well, Virginia is kind of overrated here. They should not. No ratings should probably have them ahead of Kansas and Gonzaga right now, realistically. But they are. Efficiency is a big factor of that, given that in the bye games Virginia did, they look great efficiency-wise. Then you add the fact that Virginia has played 3 of their 6 games away from home, and that's the key. And then you look over at Ohio State, and they have a couple of really nice road wins. So, and the fact that Virginia's weren't on the road but neutral might tell you that it just means get out of your stadium is a bigger deal than going actually into the hostile stadium. Just getting there, because that's what you'll face in the NCAA tournament. I can't really disagree with that philosophy. So I think you're going to see – but David should be very happy that road matters, because David harps on that all the time, yeah, or at least away from home matters. So those are two aspects that I think will raise the net more than your average rating, than an RPI, than a Sagarin, et cetera.
And when you look at these here, you look at the teams with the really nice net ratings, take a look even at either Ohio State or Michigan State. What you're seeing is not only in the KenPom columns here, where you look at the offensive and defensive efficiency numbers, mm-hmm. you combine that with a high strength of schedule. You throw in a team like a Rutgers, 74 net, not that hot. Strength of schedule, but look at that offensive efficiency. It's awful. And that's mm-hmm. something that throws you down there into the 70s, despite mm-hmm. a very similar record to a team like Michigan State that's 5-1 and a 7th overall. Kyle, your team number 1 overall, though. Do you have any thoughts on the net?
Yeah, you know, some of you that follow me on Twitter may have noticed I got into it with Myron Metcalf of ESPN on Twitter. and the biggest thing is he wrote a scathing article about this. And, you know, the problem is people need to let this play out a little bit. We're not even 20% of the way into the season. And net, by the NCAA's own admission, was designed to predict March success. So it was scaled and tested against results in March. So for people to be writing scathing articles in November about a system that's designed to work in March just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I have some issues with it. But I would like to see more things play out. You know, I think that they overdid. You know, they've got winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage. They've got efficiency and scoring margin up to 10 points. I feel like they probably, you know, were a little bit, you know, overboard with including some of these things, because they kind of double each other up. But overall, I like the idea. They're trying to put together a metric that has both, you know, efficiency and power ratings, as well as just what have you accomplished. And I like the fact that you're trying to combine both of these, because that is what people wanted. They wanted not only to measure what you've done, but measure how good you are. And I think that that's what it's designed to do. And I actually think, although I have some issues with it, I think long-term, I actually do think it is a major improvement over RPI. And I think it's a step in the right direction.
And that'll be the last thing I say on this is, look at the RPI column next to the net column. As a college basketball fan of viewers of this show, which column looks more accurate? I think it is very clear that the net looks more accurate to what we view college basketball and the strength of college basketball teams to be, I mean, than the RPI. And that, and remember, the RPI is what created the quadrant, was the foundation for the quadrant system before this year. Now will be the net. That's better data being the foundation for what the committee uses when they determine what is a good win, a bad loss, et cetera.
And we actually had a chance during the offseason to speak to David Warlock from the NCAA about the net. And I think we'll actually go ahead and we'll post, well, you see the link for the show, we'll post right the same thing here. We'll repost that article also. You guys can take a listen to that if you want. But let's actually move on to some other games. Salika, let me bring you in, because the other big team we saw for the Big Ten had a huge week was Michigan State, going out to that event in Vegas. Not only beating UCLA, which we kind of expected them to do, then beating a game Texas team that had already upset North Carolina and kept us from having that marquee Michigan State-Carolina matchup.
Well, this was one of the reasons why we called it the PK 81, because this probably had the most star power out of any of the exempt events here.
Right. And Tytel, out of the rest of these Big Ten teams, anybody else that really made a lot of noise to you this week that really stood out to you?
I'll stay local with Maryland. I know they haven't played anybody great, but if you show that score in the middle, Marshall made the tournament last year, and I believe did pretty well once they got there. They were destroyed in College Park. And, of course, Joby knows that some big teams go in there on Wednesday. What do you think, buddy?
I think that this will be the biggest test Virginia has, including the Wisconsin game and the championship of the Bahamas. Given Wisconsin is a Big Ten team, I think I can mention that win by the Cavaliers.
Here is the upcoming schedule for this week of the Big Ten. It is ACC Big Ten Challenge Week. The Big Ten already up 1-0 with Nebraska's win, Minnesota and VC as we record this. Tytel, looking ahead to Tuesday, Wednesday night, all these ACC Big Ten games, you have any predictions for us in all of these games?
I will predict Virginia ruins Maryland's perfect record. I don't know if they will, but they certainly should. I don't think Indiana can get it done at Duke, but I would keep an eye on NC State. Wolfpack are looking really good so far. Nice mix of veteran players and young guys. I know Wisconsin's great. I know Ethan Happ is a preseason All-American, but don't count out the Wolfpack just yet.
And Kyle, what about the Syracuse-Ohio State game? Syracuse is very disappointing so far, but it's not like it's a bye game by any means.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough test for Ohio State. Samford, who I was really impressed with, by the way, for a mid-major anyway, they went to a 2-3 zone exclusively against Ohio State. They're usually a man team, and they actually gave Ohio State a lot of fits. Now, Ohio State's ball movement in the season has been pretty good, but Samford really gave them some fits with that zone. And, you know, obviously Syracuse runs a 2-3 zone as a profession. So it'll be interesting to see how Ohio State handles it. I think Ohio State's defense is legit. I think in raw data right now, they're a top 15 defensive efficiency. They're 22 taken in on Pomeroy's ratings, taken into account preseason expectations, but they're actually top 10, top 15 in raw data. So this will be a tough test for Ohio State, but I want to see how Ohio State handles the zone, and that'll go a long way, I think, to beating Syracuse.
Right. And David, as if the ACC Big Ten Challenge wasn't enough and already having played the Gavitt games wasn't enough, we now hit right after the ACC Challenge is done, the first two conference games of the season with this new 20-game schedule coming up this weekend. And a couple of huge ones here, I think, including this Wisconsin-Iowa game and that Purdue-Michigan game.
Yeah, I mean, kind of interesting that you get, you know, Wisconsin-Iowa, not a huge rivalry, but still a fun matchup. But yeah, right out of the gate, not a fan of the 20-game schedule. But, you know, again, high-stakes games this early in the season. And what a great season it's been so far.
Yeah, I mean, if it was for Iowa having that bye game tomorrow night at home against Pittsburgh, they'd have a killer week.
I'll say check out Pittsburgh's JNG rating, and then you can make fun of the JNG.
Hey, how ironic, Chad, because Clemson has a bye game in the ACC championship in football, too.
Well, that might be true.
Well, unfortunately, the team that should be the team that's bought is Wake Forest, but they're not going to be part of the ACC and Big Ten Challenge this year.
Well, let's talk a little more, not only Wake Forest, but the entire ACC, or maybe no Wake Forest, but the entire ACC.
Yeah, let's not spend a whole lot of time on Wake Forest.
But when it comes to the ACC, Tytel, the tournament out in Maui, we saw what we thought, people were talking about was an unbeatable Duke team get beat.
It was. I mean, the Zags took it to them. They almost blew it away at the end after having a big second-half lead. They only ended up winning by two because R.J. Barrett missed about 10 shots in the final seconds there. Huge win for the Zags, obviously, and a good reality check for Duke. We keep thinking if somebody, a power team, comes along every year. Kentucky a few years ago comes to mind where people are like, oh, this is the year that somebody goes undefeated. It's really hard to get done, which is why nobody's got it done in several decades. I think that the Zags and Duke will be fine. I don't know what the ceiling is for Duke. Like, they can win the national championship, but they're really young. And once they start facing adversity more than just once, I'll be very interested to see how Coach K rallies the troops.
Yeah, Joby, yep. Virginia, a nice job out in Atlantis, even if
yeah, final. I wish I'd been able to go. Not gonna lie, it looked like a lot of fun. A lot of Virginia fans, man, out there. The win over Wisconsin is big because that is strength versus strength. That is, hey, who has the best pack line? And you know what? Looking at Virginia's tempo, we just whipped Wisconsin with our 353 tempo. You know that's not in the net.
353. Out of 352.
How many teams are in Division I college basketball?
353.
Gotcha. Okay. a great win for Virginia. Tytel gave a little hint on what's awaiting in College Park. It should be a very good game. Virginia is the victim of trying to schedule well. You always see this. And the schedule – teams have just fallen apart. George Washington, Exhibit A. You know, usually is a good schedule, but oh my God, they're awful. You know, they're not even close. They won last night, but they're not even close in their losses. However, the preview game, when we get to it, that I want to see is Tar Heels Wolverines. Wow. That is going to be some – those are two teams, despite North Carolina's loss – to Texas that we saw last Thursday. I'm still a believer that this Tar Heel team is much better than I thought under Luke May and the freshmen. You combine that with maybe the most impressive team next to Gonzaga with their win over Duke has been Michigan, with their Villanova win and their Providence win being just so commanding. Wow, that is going to be awesome to see. Michigan, North Carolina, if you pick one game to watch in this tournament, in this challenge, that's the one to watch because you got two teams that are Final Four, at least this early in the season, caliber going at it.
And, Kyle, I want to throw a view here, Virginia Tech. I think you had a few comments on them.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I was agreeing with John about NC State. It's kind of funny because looking at their difference, you know, Joby mentioned the difference between net and RPI. NC State's 31 in net and 206 in RPI. It just kind of shows the differences we're talking about right here. But I actually I like this Virginia Tech team a lot. I actually think this could wind up being Buzz's best team yet.
Uncle Buzz!
I'm not real sold on the depth of this team. I think that they have to stay healthy and they have to keep their starters on the floor. But that you know, those four – you know, the first four scorers they have, you know, Alexander Walker, Robinson Hill, and Blackshear. I mean, those guys can score with almost anybody in college basketball, and they defend really well. So I was really impressed what they did in Charleston, I think it was, against Purdue especially. They look really good. I like this Virginia Tech team a lot, and I think they're a dark horse there in the ACC race.
Let's take a look at some of the upcoming games here in the ACC.
Well, Chad, real quick.
One more game you want to talk about, David. Yeah.
Well, Florida State.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, and again, it was one of the games that kind of flew under the radar, but that game against LSU, it was two top 20 teams on a neutral floor. Now, I don't know if they'll both be in the top 20 at the end, but they're both really good, and it certainly is possible. And that was Florida State. That wasn't their first big win, but it was a real nice overtime win. And some of the stuff from the box score, I got the box score here. Do you mind if I borrow the screen share here, Chad?
Yeah, okay, I'll pull it down here.
Okay, yeah.
Good grief. We're going to see some kind of puppet porn.
we are not. Okay, so here it is. I believe, okay, can we see it there? And there's Florida State. And just like, again, this game went into overtime. You see there MJ Walker playing 42 minutes. And just like, not the best shooting, but gutting it out for Florida State. We go up here to LSU, and again, a lot of minutes. And look at this, 79 minutes right here by LSU, by George Mason's strength and conditioning coach, Andy Hendrahan. Just a remarkable performance in that game.
Oh, my God. David, I think there might be a problem with your computer. You may need to look into that. I'm not entirely certain that Handy played 79 minutes in a 40-minute game. But
it was a 45. Well, it was. That's what made it so remarkable.
But if so, well, then congrats to Handy. But let's take a look at the upcoming week here in the ACC. And Stalika, let me bring you in here. Obviously, the other half of the ACC, this is, again, we'll see the ACC Big Ten Challenge games here. And we just mentioned that Carolina-Michigan game. But anything else that you're looking forward to either in those games or what we're going to see after that coming up this weekend with games like Louisville's?
To follow up on what the puppet said, I would be following Purdue and Florida State because both of these teams were runners-up in their respective exempt tournaments. Florida State should be a slight favorite at home, but wouldn't surprise me if Penn State were able to pull a bit of a stunner at home against Virginia Tech.
Mm.
And then Louisville is a team that also had a couple of close losses in New York as part of the preseason NIT, and now get a tough test at the Yum Center against Michigan State.
And we're going to see a hell of a game cut up Saturday, David. Wake Forest at Richmond. I mean,
well, we won't.
Well, I tell you, that Florida State team, I hope Handy doesn't have to go 79 minutes again. He'll get kind of tired.
He's playing for somebody else next week.
Okay.
Why don't we take a look over at the Big East? And Joby, let me bring in here on Villanova.
Yeah.
Had a huge bounce back week, including the big win over Florida State that we just mentioned in the finals.
That's the A-10.
That is not
the Big East, though.
Okay. Although they're playing similarly right now.
Under the radar is Wednesday night.
There we go. How about that conference?
St. John's is playing well. Villanova, what a win over Florida State. And you know, watching that game, that was good basketball coming down. I didn't think it was – oh, two teams, you know, Florida State was just down and Villanova. I think it was Villanova showing their back. They're doing much better than they did against Furman and Michigan. Just as a note, on the JNG, Villanova's climbed up with that win because this was have an update for the day, is now a top 70 team and well on their way being back in the field and climbing up the charts. I think we're going to see Villanova maybe not final number one, number two seed resume at the end of the year, but I think protected seed, they're well on their way. Beating Florida State the way they did showed me that this is – in the words of our friends across the ocean, I'm not dead yet. So they're going to Villanova. The key is, can Booth be the leader? And I think Booth maybe has to grow into it more than I realized. I thought he'd hit the ground running a little better. But he showed it against Florida State, and the team – did as well.
Yeah, and does this kind of jumpstart their season? Because there hadn't been really a whole lot of high water marks for this conference yet. Now they finally have one with Villanova stepping up. This league, when you look at the records, it doesn't really look that bad, but I think the overall problem is the vast majority of these have been home bye game wins. There just isn't a whole lot of meat there, despite what I mean, nobody's below 500. Only one team is as low as 500. So maybe the Big East isn't as bad as I thought. But when you look at, like, what have they done that's notable, despite having the gaudy records, not a whole lot other than what Villanova just did.
David, I was really impressed watching Creighton against Clemson last week. I thought they looked really good. I tell you what, Creighton's offense, I think by the end of the year, is going to be scary. They move the ball really well. I'm not sure that they defend as well as McDermott would like to have them defend, but Tyshawn Alexander is a scoring machine. I really like this Creighton team in this Big East race.
Yeah, that is a good early season win. I had forgotten about that. I actually watched that game. So Clemson having all kinds of trouble with the state of Nebraska this year.
David, mixed results for Butler also this week. Losing to Dayton, beating Florida. Who knows? I mean, that's
strange. Florida, real unimpressive. Well,
by the alternate token, Clemson is undefeated against teams not in Nebraska.
Well, that's very true.
I guess the other team we got to mention, though, Tytel, Seton Hall with a win in their event, including in the Wooden Legacy, including the win over Miami last night. That kind of surprised me. Did it surprise you also?
A little. I mean, they lost so much talent from last year. I knew Miles Powell was going to kind of lead the way. I didn't know he was going to score 40 a game. And beating Miami, Miami's a top 25 team so far this year, so that's a solid win. Very tough neutral site game coming up for them in a couple of weeks against Kentucky. I don't know if they're going to pull that off, but the rest of the non-conference schedule looks winnable, although Louisville at home will be tough, although Louisville couldn't beat Marquette, so we'll see.
This was a pleasant surprise for Seton Hall when you consider they were coming off back-to-back losses at the Vault at Nebraska and also at home against St. Louis.
Yeah, kind of surprising there. Another thing about Creighton, I could see them doing very well throughout the rest of out-of-conference play, and then in the first half of conference play, I could see them doing very well. And then throughout their last 10 games, I could see them losing 7 out of 10.
Okay, well, Here's the upcoming schedule in the Big East. Kyle, let me go back to you. What games are you looking for actually this week in the Big East, if any of them? Maybe you're not.
Good grief.
Maybe Saturday, Gonzaga-Creighton?
You know, Gonzaga-Creighton is – yeah, that's the one that definitely stands out. That's must-see TV for sure. Butler-St. Louis is intriguing because I really don't know – I haven't seen Butler play this year, and I'm they're just kind of ho-hum. They're just there. I'd like to see how they perform on the road at St. Louis. That seems like that could be a really good test for Butler early on.
I would also say Kansas State Marquette is going to be a pretty critical one because we haven't talked about the Golden Eagles very much. They were very competitive against Kansas. Actually looked like they were threatening to run away with it in the end of the first half. But whatever Bill Self said to the Jayhawks at halftime, they did a complete 180. And even though Marquette lost that game, they were able to salvage an overtime win against Louisville.
Mark my words on this one. Liberty is not the best bye game for Georgetown. Liberty, I would actually pick Liberty in that game. And that's true. I think Liberty's actually – I mean, they're actually in a tough under-the-radar conference.
But well, they wanted to schedule Maryland Eastern Shore, but they weren't available. St. John's got to them first.
Yeah.
I've also circled, though, Saturday, Rhode Island-Providence. Great rivalry, great game, although maybe not as much this year as it was last season. But
it's intense. It's fun.
Let's turn over to the Big 12. And, Salika, let me let you start here in the Big 12. We did see Kansas come up with a couple of huge wins, including a huge win on Friday over Tennessee in the championship of, was it the preseason NIT?
That was the preseason NIT following their comeback win against Marquette. And Tennessee was another team that's, even though it was in a losing effort, they're showing they're going to be hanging around the top 10 throughout the year. But if we're looking across the state to Kansas State, they pretty much held serve against Lehigh.
And, Tytel, what about Oklahoma State? A pair of not great wins, but solid wins this week over Memphis and LSU. And the only loss being the Villanova loss.
Yeah, I was more impressed. I would have been more impressed. I really thought LSU was going to be a great team this year, and they seem to be leaking a little oil. Very good scheduling by Mike Boynton. Besides the home, the road opener at Charlotte where they actually lost, God help them. Five top 200 teams after that, and it does not get any easier. Minnesota, Houston, and Nebraska in the weeks ahead.
And Joby, Texas Tech, are they for real?
We thought with the South Dakota transfers, et cetera, that they would – say in the collective we at Hoops HD, I think we're higher than what the nation as a whole was on Texas Tech, and they're delivering right now.
Chad, I was going to ask
– Colorado, guys, they are – I think they could win the Big Sky.
I was going to ask rhetorically, do you think Texas Tech is a legitimate contender to take down Kansas for that Big 12 title?
No.
Did you see Kansas play
Kansas
this week?
Is the best team in the country. I will stake that out. Kansas is the best team in the country. Well, they will win the Big 12, who's not a bad conference, by three games.
Funny thing, Joby, is I actually agree with you. I think Kansas. I would take Kansas over Duke to win the title. But
I agree with that.
But I do believe in this Tech team. So that's why I was asking the question.
Kansas State's the team I think that will give Kansas fits because I think they'll split. Because K State seems to have Kansas's number a little bit, and this is the best K State team that we've seen. And so, getting a split against Kansas will be a big deal, and then maybe propel them to be second would be the way I look at it. And, oh, God help us, who coaches that team again?
Yeah. Well, you got to look at Texas Tech here, sitting here at 5-0 against D1 competition. You know, they have the win over Northern Colorado. They got the nice wins against USC, and then they have the three vie wins to get to 5-0. We're not going to count that game that was played in the Sprint Center. But – again, a lot of the people that are railing on the net are railing on where it has Texas Tech ranked. And while I think three is –
let's go ahead and show net here on the team sheet instead of RPI now that we've got it available. There we go.
First time ever.
There you go.
Right. But This time a year ago, the week after Thanksgiving, any ranking at all that ranked Texas Tech in the top 10 would have been laughed out of the room. Well, Texas Tech was a top 10 team last year. They were a 3 seed. They made the Elite Eight. They rose as high as I don't know what in the rankings. We had them on our one line for a while. So maybe the net is more correct in some cases than what we realize. I don't think Texas Tech is third, but I think that they're way, way, way better than what people realize, just as they were a year ago. How soon we forget. It's deja vu.
And Northern Colorado is only 7 spots away from making it a Tier 2 win. Remember that.
Well, only one more. I mean, there's the Memphis game, but you got the big Duke game on December 20th, obviously, for Tech. The only other game beyond that would be, I think there was an SEC Big 12 challenge game at some point.
They got
January.
A real good opponent.
By the way, Abilene Christian is playing the best of anyone. When we talk on the radar, you laugh. They're playing the best of anyone in the Southland right now.
Well, okay. I'm glad you qualified.
SCFAU.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
No. Abilene Christian last year was kind of a 250-ish team. This Abilene Christian is right now top 120 team. That's how you pile up nice little subtle wins statistically. They're going to get helped in the net by that win, assuming they beat Abilene Christian.
Tytel, since we'll all be watching Big Ten hoops for the next week or so, is there anything worth watching in the Big 12 here on the schedule?
I like the Texas Tech-Memphis game. It's to see where those teams are at. For those who didn't hear, Memphis actually got the number one recruit for next year, James Wiseman.
And his unicorn, yes.
Playing the series next year, so we could see the real Memphis. But I don't know, Joby. Maybe it's legit. Penny's a great recruiter, no?
Or if you're a fan of schizophrenia, watch the Baylor and Wichita State team game and see which Shocker team shows up for that one.
Let's go over to the Pac-12, Kyle. I don't know how much Pac-12 hoops you've caught so far, but we do have an undefeated Arizona State team and a bunch of crap, right?
I've watched more than I need. I promise, more than I need to. Watching any Pac-12 is more than anybody needs to stomach right now. Look, I think Arizona State is the only team in this. Like, Arizona has the talent to be a good, you know, a top four line, I guess, when it's all said and done. But outside of Arizona State, there's just nobody in this, you know, this league that impresses me right now. I know, you know, Bol Bol gets a lot of press, and Oregon has talent, but I've just not been impressed with them as a team so far. This is a garbage league right now.
And when we saw the Big East, not a single one of the teams in the top 25 of the net. Tytel, this is your conference, being an Arizona guy. Again, no top 25 net teams here.
I'm still recovering from Arizona's football losses, much less their basketball losses. But just to be clear, the Wildcats were leading the Zags, the number one team in the nation, by 13 in the second half before it all went horribly wrong. They were playing with the best team in the nation and beating them soundly.
It was. I mean, it was kind of impressive. Oregon State, are they still a dark horse? Or do we still like them to maybe make some noise in this league?
They won by 3 at Long Beach. That was unimpressive.
They did, and it wasn't impressive, but they've played 6 and won 5 of them.
I'm going to share another fun fact as far as the Pac-12 goes. Going into the Wooden Legacy, the Pac-10/Pac-12 is a perfect 15-0 all time. That was including a tournament win by Washington State last year. This year, Utah goes in and promptly finishes in 6th place with losses against Hawaii and Northwestern.
Upcoming week here, Joby, let me bring you here on the upcoming week in the Pac-12. Again, I don't know what you're going to watch.
I see a lot of games there that I won't watch.
Here's what I am going to point out that I think people need to pay attention to. Georgia Southern in Arizona is actually a pretty intriguing game. Georgia Southern has played very well. They've beaten there's a reason why the net – and RBI and a lot of these other non-preseason bias ratings actually have them pretty darn high. J&G has them really high right now. We'll see. It might be a test for Georgia Southern, but don't be shocked they walk in. If Arizona takes them lightly saying, who the heck is Georgia Southern? You know, Arizona's the type of team who does that. Buffalo. from time to time. And don't be surprised if Georgia Southern comes away with a win. Do not be.
I'm looking forward to that one that's circled at the bottom, that LMU-UCLA game.
Same story, different team.
Nevada, USC, it's a tough road test for Nevada. Arizona at UConn, Titel. Could be an interesting game there, actually.
I should hop on the flight that all my friends in D.C. are going to go to that game, but I'm a little worried about it because I don't think this is last year's UConn debacle of a team. I think this is a legit UConn team, and I don't even know what the line is. I'm scared to look because I think UConn might be favored.
Well, John, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, a cross-country game coming across West Coast with probably only one day of travel in between, that's a dangerous game to fly all the way against a dangerous team right now.
All right. Let's take a look at the SEC. And, Kyle, let me stick with you here. What have you seen that you liked about the SEC, which has no undefeated teams left, coincidentally?
I tell you, I know that they fell a little short against Duke, but I like this Auburn team. I really like those guards. I like the way they get up and defend. I think this Auburn team has got a real chance to win the SEC this year. And that's nothing against Tennessee, who I like as well. But I like this Auburn team a lot.
Right. David, your thoughts on that or any?
I really liked how Tennessee played. I know that they didn't get the win against Kansas, but they were certainly in a position to win it. And I think it's one of those games where they take more away from it, even though that they lost, than anything else. I mean, we just talked about how we thought Kansas would win it all. Well, on a neutral floor, for a good portion of that second half, Tennessee had the lead, so they weren't really that far off from Kansas. They kind of struggled a little bit against Louisville, but they really looked good in that Kansas. Auburn has looked good too, but I thought Tennessee looked better against Kansas than Auburn looked against Duke. And I think that Kansas is at least as good and not better than Duke.
I guess when I look at the SEC so far, and Titel, do you agree with me here that while the conference has looked pretty good with a lot of these teams, the conference as a whole has not picked up a marquee win at all yet?
True, but I mean, Auburn's a few points away from being undefeated, and they lost to Duke by 6, so I would not say that they're a bad team, obviously.
No.
And Kentucky also lost. Duke is ruining the SEC. Thing that I want to focus on is Vandy. They brought in two McDonald's All-Americans this year, and Simi Shidu and Darius Garland. Garland just went down with a torn meniscus in his left knee. I don't know how serious it is, but he was one of the best point guards, incoming freshman in the country. So hopefully it's not serious, because when healthy, I think they are a legit tournament contender. Without him, I don't think they're going anywhere.
Without him, you think they're losing at home to Kent State and stuff like that?
I don't know about that, but I don't think this team is winning 20 games without their star McDonald's All-American point guard.
If I could ask the panel, I'm curious what you guys think of this Kentucky team, because they have just been, garbage so far. I mean, they're winning by 10 points on average against teams like Tennessee State and Winthrop and Southern Illinois. I mean, they have just not passed any kind of eye test so far. And I know we've seen Kentucky start slow before with young teams, but they had a little more experience on this team, and they're not playing well early. So I'm curious what people think of this Kentucky team, because I'm starting to think that they just may not be that good this year.
The talent's definitely there, and I guess I've just been burned on them so many times. Generally, after Christmas, they kind of get it kick-started a little bit. They got a stretch, as you see there, the remaining schedule of winnable games. We'll see how they do out in Seton Hall. Utah, not very good. But, I mean, if they win out going into the North Carolina game, that's the kind of game where they could really show up. You know, school's out, they're practicing a lot more. And it seems like they always have just some sort of breakout game where they explode onto the scene.
I would say the back-to-back stretch between UNC Greensboro and Seton Hall is also going to test the Wildcats here.
This is a good Greensboro team. Mm-hmm. As I know that those of you that watch Under the Radar know that. It's really good.
And then for the next game, it's a very bad Monmouth team.
What
a note there. You see at the very, very bottom, South Carolina tonight with a loss to Wofford. Earlier in the week, Georgia losing by about 500 points to Georgia State. It was – the bottom of this conference is pretty bad. And unfortunately, Rocco can't be here again to tell us about how good South Carolina is going to be this year.
Yeah, right.
But let's take a look at the upcoming week here. And
all right.
And David, there's the upcoming schedule for this week. Is it again, we're watching Big Ten and ACC this week?
We got the team of the people going to Vanderbilt getting paid. Okay. Alabama to UCF is pretty good. Mississippi State at Dayton. This is a Dayton team that desperately needs a win of note because as we're about to see, I think, if not next year in a little bit, they're just not going to get any help.
Dad, you should have slipped in a Missouri at Kansas on there on Monday.
One of these weeks we'll do that. Just see if he catches it, Kyle. Good idea. The American Conference. Tytel, given that your Arizona team is playing UConn this weekend, what did you see out of the American this week, if anything that stood out to you?
I'm still surprised that Houston's undefeated. Not that they've been beating up like top 10 opponents, but they lost Rob Gray from last year's team that almost made the Sweet 16. And I really thought they were going to take a severe downturn. Obviously, another situation where we see the net and the RPI have a very big difference, based as Joby told us, because I assume the strength of schedule is atrocious. I really thought that Wichita State was going to be a little better, and 3-3 is nothing to hit the panic button about. But I really think UConn is exceeding at least my expectations.
Yeah, they are with me as well.
And a nice week, Salika, by Cincinnati won their event, correct?
Yeah, that would be against both Ole Miss and George Mason. Mm-hmm. But I actually wanted to follow up on Tytel's comment about Houston. They win by 14 at BYU, which should be a decent win later in the year. But I think, as I alluded to earlier in the write-up, not one of BYU's better days when you consider they doubled that win up with a loss in the Holy War on the gridiron after blowing a 20-point lead.
Yeah, bad day for BYU. Joby, the upcoming week in the American, I don't know, we got Temple in Missouri tomorrow night. Is that the best game?
Oregon at Houston.
Alabama, Central Florida was mentioned in the SEC rundown. Might as well mention it again here.
And UCF at Missouri, actually, it's a big week for Central Florida if you look
at it. Yeah, that is very true. And then Arizona, Connecticut, obviously, we've already discussed. One interesting one, Baylor, Wichita State. We're going to find a little bit more. Wichita State has been not the usual Wichita State. They haven't delivered what Marshall usually produces. Baylor, likewise, has not played Baylor's done their typical crappy out-of-conference scheduling trick and not really delivered fully. Let's see what happens. One of these two teams could maybe take off from this point and be arguing for a bid. And pointing to this win over an NIT-ish, CIT-ish type game as a building block to start their resume.
I got a question for Stalika. John, if I set the over-under for tournament bids for the American at 2.5, are you taking over or under?
I am taking the under on that one.
Just also another game cut up on Saturday, Temple St. Joe's. Yeah, as you know, Tytel, big five matchup.
Five.
It was fun. But let's turn from this conference to, we haven't discussed them yet. They're the new number one team of the nation, other than, you know, briefly when we went through the ACC. But Gonzaga, fresh off of the win in Maui, just barely edging out Kansas in both polls, I believe. But Tytel, they are the number one team in the nation, the Bulldogs. And right now they're completely destroying North Dakota State as we record this.
And this league has two top 10 teams in the net.
Yep. LMU.
You shouldn't sleep on LMU either. We'll see what they're like. I believe they have UCLA coming up in the days ahead. But BYU off to a disappointing start. St. Mary's, I don't get. Like, I remember seasons past where they would lose three games in the entire regular season before missing the NCAA tournament. Now they're losing three in November.
Yeah. Let me go back to Gonzaga and Kansas for a moment, because this is probably the closest vote that I can remember between the AP and the coaches poll. Gonzaga had 32 first place votes to Kansas's 31, with I think Duke and Virginia garnering votes as well. The coaches, 17 in favor of Gonzaga and 15 in favor of Kansas. So we were pretty close to co-number ones this week.
John T., I got a question for you on Loyola Marymount. I have not seen them play. I'm curious your take on them. Do you think they are – I mean, obviously not a top 10 team, but do you think they are a legitimate team? I know right now the predictive metrics don't like them yet, but it's still early. There's not a lot of data for this year. I'm curious your take on the Lions.
I mean, we don't learn anything when they beat Westcliff. We learn a little more when they beat Georgetown on a neutral court, but obviously Georgetown is not anybody's in anybody's top 10. The UCLA game is the real test, because after that, it's a bunch of non-top 100 teams until we get Gonzaga and St. Mary's games in January. I don't think the Lions are going to win like 25 or anything, but I think this team is sneaky good and could eke out a 20-win season. Very great veteran leadership. James Bateman is a senior, their main scorer. They have a huge guy in the middle, Matthias Markussen, 7'3", and he can move. He's not just a log or a lump in the middle, and a bunch of guards around them. So I really think this could be a 20-win team.
Well, David, let me throw this out here to the team I put up on the right there, San Francisco, the Dons, undefeated also now that Arizona State game was postponed or canceled due to the wildfires. But interesting week this week. They got SFA coming up out in Belfast, and then they might have a game in a battle of undefeateds in Northern Ireland against Buffalo in the championship game of that event.
Yeah, Buffalo really good. We'll get to them later in the show because they're no longer under the radar. I'm not that excited about San Francisco yet. I do hope that they're able to make up that game against Arizona State because I think it would be a good game for both teams. But when you look at them, they've essentially beaten Harvard, who's maybe okay, and then won home by games or won on the road against teams that really aren't very good. So it's kind of hard to be too excited about them yet.
The J&G loves this conference, by the way.
Well, the net does also. Look at that, three 25 teams crazy. There.
But San Diego's getting respect in the net, the RPI, mine, strength of record, you know. And remember, the three predictive ratings are very heavily, and Ken Palm, when he was on our show, mentioned this, that – they are very, until you get to the new year, they're very preseason dependent. So you almost have to realize, okay, how was this team last year? Is this better than they were last year? And that's how you'd have to measure it out. And I would dare say, using Ken Palm as an example, San Diego was not the 102nd best team entering the season. So that shows how good San Diego on paper has done this year.
I tell you, Joby, if you think the JNG loves this league, I mean, the KPI has all 10 teams tied for number one.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, Kevin does not start releasing his ratings for another several more weeks here, but we'll get them as soon as they do.
No, the net's out. The net's out. Now he'll start his ratings.
All right. Mountain West Conference, Stalica, Nevada, still undefeated here.
Yeah. Pretty decent win against Tulsa on Thursday, but not too many other tests in the way of that. So that's one of the reasons why we highlighted their game coming up against USC coming up the following weekend. But as far as another at-large team, you'd be looking at teams like Utah State and San Diego State. Aztecs, they had one win against Xavier and Maui, but also two blowout losses. A team like Utah State, they got one win in Las Vegas, but ended up losing to Arizona State, I believe.
Yeah, and they really needed that Arizona State game. The win against St. Mary's, I was pretty excited when they got that. I thought they looked really impressive. But as we said about St. Mary's, maybe they're not as good as what we're used to seeing. And while Arizona State's really good and they didn't play poorly, I think Utah State really needed that one.
Well, let's take a look at what we've got coming up this week here. Titel, here's the upcoming schedule in the Mountain West. We see this is Mountain West Missouri Valley Conference Challenge Week, so we've got a couple interesting games here, including Nevada, Loyola, and I think is in there somewhere.
Big games for Nevada both yes. of the week. They get the Final Four defending team in the Ramblers, and they go to LA to play the Trojans and see what they're really made of, because this team is ranked in the top 10, I believe even the top 5. And they're playing great, and they're beating everybody by a lot. Not a lot of people want to play this Nevada team because they're so good. USC and Andy Enfield agreed to do it. We'll see what they're made of.
All right. Well, let's – on that note, David, we have to do it because they're still technically part of the show. I tried to get them on the screen earlier, but now let's do it for real. Atlantic 10, go for it.
Well, you've got a couple of bright spots here at the top of the league. You've got Davidson, who's cracked the top 100 of the NET, you know, of the NET right there. That's the NCAA evaluation tool. You know, you got a couple of top 100 teams out there.
Actually, you know, I mean, probably the most surprising story here, Kyle, Duquesne, the best NET, the best RPI, the best metrics across the board, aren't they?
I was just looking at that. At least all the metrics are in agreement that Duquesne right now is the best team in the league, and that's not saying anything. But
right. Okay, the eye test, and I hate that term. Duquesne, I was pretty big on them. I know that this program has been atrocious for as long as I've been alive, maybe longer. Went to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, not particularly good. You may have noticed that we didn't mention them during the ACC. Just got their doors blown off. So while they're having a good year by Duquesne standards, nowhere really near the bubble. VCU had a really nice win against Temple. But they've also had to sweat out a lot of games from under the radar leagues that aren't really that good.
Dayton, the Hofstra game by two.
Yeah. Hofstra by two. Dayton played really well against Virginia, had a nice win against Butler. That might be the most accomplished team in this, despite what the early rankings say. George Mason, hugely disappointing. Good God, just look at the bottom of this league. And I could be wrong on this. I think this league has lost more home bye games than the other nine non-under-the-radar leagues combined.
It's not just home bye games. They were also a collective 6-19 in all of the exempt bracketed events.
Holy shit!
There were only two other conferences that lost as many as 13 games, and that was the SEC and the Pac-12. You want to talk
about
that?
And that includes Dayton difference? Doing decent. I mean, my gosh, that's awful.
There's the upcoming schedule in the A-10. I mean, we've got a couple of rivalry games like the Providence-Rhode Island, the George Mason-Mary, Duquesne-Pittsburgh there. But, you know, Canisius-St. Bonaventure, but I don't know. VCU is at Old Dominion and hosting Iona. That's such a decent Old Dominion team.
Look for a possible upset of that of Dayton at hosting Mississippi State on Friday. That'll be an interesting game. Mm-hmm.
One more team we want to briefly discuss here. Here's the Mid-American Conference standings. There's Buffalo off of a very strong week title of beating Marist and Dartmouth. Is this Buffalo team who hasn't played anybody in a couple weeks now, or did they still belong up here in the top 25?
I want to keep them up there as long as I can because it makes the Arizona loss all the better.
We already mentioned it, David. Upcoming this week, Buffalo is in Northern Ireland. They are going to be taking on, in that first game, they got Milwaukee and then possibly San Francisco in the championship game there.
Yeah, and they should walk through both of those, although that would be a real interesting game against San Francisco since, as you said, both are undefeated. One slightly more tested than the other, though.
It's going to be important for Buffalo to take care of business here in the non-conference because almost any loss that they have in the MAC this year is going to be a bad loss. So if they somehow get upset in the MAC tournament, they have to make sure they take care of business because they're just not going to have any margin for error.
Even that win at Southern Illinois looks like it's starting to lose a little bit of steam.
Well, they do have two more big tests left, Joby. They're at Syracuse and at Marquette.
And we'll see. Yeah, there's the old expression at Syracuse for years. Oh, they won't leave the state of New York. They just play these bye games. Buffalo's not an easy bye game, Mr. Boeheim. Maybe he didn't get the memo that things changed. He got Cornell this week. Buffalo is not Cornell. So we're going to see. And that'll tell us a lot about Syracuse. It'll tell us a lot about Buffalo. Great. I'm happy that game is happening. And also, Marquette, we talked about during the Big East, has to prove themselves. That'll tell us a lot about Marquette. It'll tell us a lot about Buffalo. I'm glad that those games are happening.
Right. Well, I guess on that note, the screen is down. And let me run through each of you. Any other final thoughts or any other comments you want to make about anything that you've seen either the past week, the upcoming week, or anything college basketball in general? And, Sleeka, let me start with you.
We talk about the A-10 going 6-19 during exempt tournament season. Contrast that to conferences like the Big 12 with 17-6 or even the Big East that completely salvaged their season with a 16-5 record, including four teams at one event, and that would be Villanova, Creighton, Seton Hall, and St. John's. Xavier was the only team that had a losing record in that event.
Wow. Good numbers there. Tytel.
So I'm going to talk about a game I actually got to see in person on Saturday with Campbell, Fighting Camels, going into D.C. to play the Hoyas. And I knew that Chris Clemens of Campbell was this little 5'9 guard who could score a lot. He came in leading the nation in scoring. He exited leading the nation in scoring by a lot. The best offensive performance I've ever seen in person, 45 points against a D1 Big East team in a losing effort, albeit. He made 9 threes. I know he took 19, but still made them. And I didn't think he could jump. I thought that's why he was stuck at the level of Campbell instead of the Big East. But if we roll that tape, we'll see what he's made of.
All right, we'll roll this year.
This is a 5'9 guard, ladies and gentlemen.
And we got a little loading.
Pinwheeling.
We got to buffer it here.
So what I'll tell you while we're waiting is that I assume
this is such a great show.
He'd be playing in the Big East and All American.
He's feeling it, Tyreek.
Have a guy like Chris Clemens, that's a good place to start.
Out here, Clemens gets out on the break and watch what he does.
Up to Clemens! High flyer!
Telling you, he is a guy that can turn the game around with his momentum change of plays. Just 5'9", but he just skied above everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to appreciate that with the choppiness of the...
It is. I'm glad we got that video up. 5'9".
I tried it.
Be an All-American at a major program. He's still going to become the nation's leading scorer. The last, he's averaging almost 34 a game. The last guy to average even 31 or more in a season. I'll have to go back to 1990. A guy named Bo Kimble for Loyola Marymount.
Yeah. Ooh, got that.
Nice one. All right, Joby, your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts is when I was looking at teams, you know, it's almost the disappointing. You look at Florida, et cetera. But here's a team that is started out as this year's Wagner on the JNG. What that means is if you took just the very, 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 very first games, they were a one seed in the JNG. That would be your Yale. Yale was actually number one seed. I would ask you to look at the JNG now. They are now number 353. And the reason why is because of their opponent. And that's why it's relevant to this show. The Cal Bears are not very good, it turns out.
So beating Cal is beating so bad
Cal
that beating
is
them
worse
than you below them.
Who has not won a game. You know, your only wins against a fellow team in the 340s or higher, and then they've lost at home and, you know, done the other things wrong. Lost to, you know, but it is, yes, the Yale to the Yale Bulldogs, they're probably just cursing Cal for not winning, or otherwise they'd be still on that number one seed line, right?
Kyle, I know you're intently rooting on Minnesota to come back in the second half against Boston College tonight, but your final thoughts?
I managed to stay awake during this rock fight. That's impressive. No, actually, I was thinking to myself, I've been really impressed with college basketball this year. You know, after a few years, the pace of play has improved. The freedom of movement has improved. I think the game is in really good shape right now. The only thing it needs more is going to four quarters.
No! No, we're not doing that.
All right. David, let me let you finish things off for the night.
Okay, a couple things. First, like for years and years and years and years and years, all the way up until about 2 or 3 years ago, you and I, mainly me, but you too, and I think all of us, just complained, and rightfully so, about what a pitiful pipsqueak start the season always got off to. I'm not complaining anymore. This year we've already had 3 games between top 5 teams, and 2 of them were within 3 days of this last week. The exempt tournaments have been great. There's high-quality matchups. There's unique matchups. I think that the payoff is that there's more people interested in college basketball sooner, as opposed to all of the half-empty arenas and poor ratings that we had seen up until then. And to build on that, Ohio State, this past Friday, beat Cleveland State. And the day after that game, that campus was going crazy. Here, I have, again, something to share here. This is just a look. And again, this is the day after they beat Cleveland State. just so much enthusiasm for college basketball right out of the gate. I just think that the early start to the season, the two big road wins for them. And then again, they rarely, before Chris Holtman got there, played teams from around Ohio.
Well, they also had to dust off St. John Arena for the occasion.
Yeah.
Well, no, they went out to the football field to celebrate.
Yeah, right, yeah, there it is. I mean, that is just remarkable.
Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. Let me see if I can get the screen back here. If I can't, then we'll just – here we go. Do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of – we got Joby Fortson and John Sleek on one side. We got David Griggs and John Titel on the other side. I have Kyle Lamb and his Christmas tree below us and his microphone. Nice microphone, Kylo.
Yep,
Kyle.
That's a huge, very large
but I do want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again later on this week with Under the Radar. More Hoop 60 report next week. Have a great week, everybody.